This is Bob Tanum in the garden on Talk Radio.
Edie will be here in a moment or two, and my mind is just so full of everything. I had a good night's sleep last night, and that's somewhat of a rarity. Now, this is show number 3176, and I'm Bob Tanum in the garden. David Farrow is my producer, and he is a specialist with Mac problems you may have. So you can contact David at creativegoose.com. Don't forget the E's on the end of creative and the E on the end of goose. Otherwise, it just won't go. Now, we're continuing to have Edie's bulletin board on garden events. And right now, here is Edie.
Good morning, everybody. It is one of those mornings. Here we are, though. I was here late, so here we are. All right, so California Native Plant Society of Santa Clara Valley. They don't have an event currently coming up because they had a talk last week. But this is some interesting things that their guest has online. The guest was John Kehoe, past events and talks. Look for iNaturalist under California Pollination Project on YouTube. And for that last talk, that'll be also online at CNPS SCV on the YouTube channel. So that's California Native Plant Society, Santa Clara Valley. Monday, April 26th, that's this next weekend, next week, 6:45, 8:45 p.m. Sacramento Cactus and Succulent Society is having successful succulent gardening gardening. And this is a YouTube event. The meeting ID is 820-1171-3522. But this is on us02web.zoom.us. That's the landing page for Zoom. So you get there and then you look for Sacramento Cactus and Succulent Society. Before next Monday, you want to sign up for that class so that you can attend. Tuesday, support a sustainable earth with RainWise. This is a group out of Seattle called RainWise, and they have this very educational event from 6 to 7. You want to register online at Earth Day RW on Zoom. So again, that's us02web.zoom.us and look for Earth Day RW for RainWise. And that'll be happening on April 20th, on Tuesday this week. April meeting of the San Francisco Succulent and Cactus Society. Again, you can go to US02web at .zoom at 7 p.m. Tuesday or before then to sign up. And they're going to be having a talk about Coahuila, a trip to northern Mexico. I totally blew that, I'm sure, with Brian Kemble, who is also the vice president. The room, of course, opens at 7, so you can get in there and start chatting to people who love succulents. And 7:30 is the formal presentation. It is simulcast on Facebook if they run out of room for people. So look for SF Succulent on Facebook, and you'll be able to tie into that and get more information before the event as well. Or you can go to us02web.zoom and start hunting around for San Francisco Succulent and Cactus Society April meeting. Let's see what this is. Edible Growing Basics. That was a talk that they had, the Alameda Master Gardeners. But I just wanted to give you Alameda Master Gardeners information. You can go to their website at acmg.ucanr.edu for all of their events that they are coming up with. I don't always get word that they're having something going on. So you can always get ahead of me by going to acmg.ucanr.edu. And also there is a phone number to call just in case at 510-670-5645 to find out their upcoming events. 510-670-5645. And also, general mention, Lengzhou Gardens also has all sorts of in-person things that they do. Limited amount of people, of course, but you can email info@lengzhougarden.com if you're down in the San Carlos area. And they have Master Gardeners events all through the season. You can also go to their website at Lengzhou Garden. That's LYNGSO garden.com. And their phone number is 650-364-1730. They're located at 345 Shoreway Road in San Carlos, 650-364-1730. Alrighty, and then container gardening is happening at Alameda Master Gardeners, April 24th at 11 a.m., and that's an online event. Go to ucanr.zoom.us or email alamedamg@ucanr.edu. They have a couple different emails. Okay, so let's see. If you are interested in learning all about edible and medicinal plants of the Northern California coast, there's a lot of things that go on, and one of them is put on by Blue Wind Educational Series. And this is often a weekend course, and the ones coming up is starting next weekend. That's session one. And the times are, you know, you have to go camp out and stuff in Ukiah, which is really fun. Anyway, Fridays from 3 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5, and Sundays from 9 to 5 are the classroom times. It's in person. And so if you're really, really serious, go ahead and email BlueWind, B like boy, M like Mary, C like Charlie. So BlueWindBMC@gmail.com for more information. I don't have a phone number, but that's Blue Wind, and that's an educational group that you can find online as well. April 24th, Spring Plant Swap at Filoli, and so that's coming up, and that's going to be at 86 Kenyatta Road, Woodside, but you need to sign up for a time slot, and go to filoli.org for more information, and this is put on by Seed and Soul Club and Filoli, so it's kind of a fun event. Also April 24th, 12 to 1:30, Tips and Techniques for Container Gardening online event. And this is, go to Israel Family Farm. So that's Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, Family Farm, for more information. It's happening 24th from 12 to 1:30. And look for their tickets at Eventbrite and look for Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, Family Farm. Sunday, April 25th, 9 a.m. on 11th Annual Spring Plant Sale from Petaluma Bounty. They're located at 55 Shasta Avenue in Petaluma, an in-person event, but you must sign up for a time slot, a 30-minute time slot. So that'll be happening next weekend on Sunday, and you need to sign up at www.petalumabounty.org. There you go, Dad.
All right. Woo. Well, sounds good to me. Looks good. We've got some callers already, so let's go to Nancy in San Jose. Hi there, Nancy.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Yes, I've been fine. And so far, I had a great night's sleep last night, so that's a rarity, so I feel pretty good this morning.
Okay. Oh, good. Bless you. I have a problem. I have lots of rose bushes, maybe 20 or 30 some, and I have something eating the bottom of the leaves, and I think it's a rabbit, but I'm not sure. But the ones that are in the ground are getting eaten. The tree roses are fine. Anything you can suggest?
Okay, it sounds like rabbits, and you can pretty well... Yeah, I'm looking at this. I have a female rabbit that just gave birth to a couple of little baby ones, and my neighbor thinks they're so cute. Okay, fine. Well, however, fortunately, I don't have anything that they can eat. Everything I have is up above what their normal digestive system can handle, so that's fine. You have a problem with those kind of things, and I suspect it is rabbits because they love roses just like deer do. I can handle deer. I'm an expert in that field. But then with rabbits, you know, I've never really paid that much attention to them other than, you know, fence them out and stuff like that. Try a egg, you know, whip up some eggs and water and spray the roses at the base and see what happens. I think that'll be, it's harmless to you and me, but it will deter the roses because it sort of, they don't like the smell.
So it's fresh eggs and scrambled with water.
Yeah, try that.
Okay.
It's an easy one to do, and it will work. For deer, I know that. That's been one of my standards. But it ought to work with most deer, most rabbits and deer, any animal that has that smells or sniffs before they eat. So that might be the problem, way to do it. Okay?
Okay. What about hot sauce and water?
Oh, yeah. They're sensitive. Try the Tabasco sauce. Yeah, that'll work. That's
okay.
Half and half, water and Tabasco sauce.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. I love your show.
My listeners are so wonderful. I just really get, I love them very much. That's wonderful. Let's go to, and thank you. Let's go to Paul in San Jose. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Bob. Love your show.
Thank you.
Bob, I put in a lawn last October, Bolero Plus.
Yeah.
And already I see crabgrass popping up here and there.
Ooh.
And I was wondering if you recommended Tenacity.
I have never recommended any type of weed killer that will for lawn. Okay, now, Paul, one of the problems that people have is to try to judge the difference between Bermuda grass and crabgrass. They just automatically say everything is bad and it's crabgrass. That may or may not be the problem. If it's Bermuda grass, there is a product put out by Monterey Lawn and Garden called, if I can recall it, something. I'll get to it in the middle of the program someplace. But I think, Paul, that I don't think Tenacity is a thing that I would use, so I'm not sure.
Okay, got it.
What you could do is email me, Paul, email me, bobtanum@aol.com, and I can give you the product's name that will work on Bermuda grass in grass lawns, okay?
Good, I'll do that, Bob, thanks.
Okay, that'll work. Okay, fine. Okay, Diane, Bill, and George, and Henry, just hang on. I'll be right back. Got to pay the bills around here. So this is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KS.
So let's get to Diane in San Rafael. Hi there, Diane.
Hi, Bob. I have a problem regarding bark that's being eaten on my lemon tree in San Francisco. The tenant says they're eating the bark. A few years ago, of course, we had a problem with the rinds being eaten and all. And, of course, we know I used the oatmeal and plaster of Paris, and that worked fine. And then for a few years, no problem. But all of a sudden this year, the tree is fine, he said, the leaves and all, but it's the bark that's being eaten.
Okay.
And all I could think of it when he called me was telling him to get some Tabasco sauce, but I didn't know how much to dilute or anything.
Oh, it's 50%.
Oh, I see. I don't know what he's using, but anyway, maybe he hasn't tried it yet. And just spray it all over.
Bark is being eaten. Now, Diana, it could be two different animals. One, I suspect, the rats.
Yes.
Also can be squirrels.
That's what I'm thinking, too, because last time the bark was left alone. They just went for the rinds. But I'm thinking it could be squirrels, too. Although he said nowadays there are some raccoons around, but I've never seen a raccoon there, you know, however.
Well, raccoons would not cause that kind of damage. It's either rats or squirrels.
So, yes, I think so, too.
So the best thing to do, really, clean up anything that's been eaten, you know, sort of you can clean off the bark so that the cambium layer can reinstitute the bark on the tree. The next one, you could set out a rat trap. That'll get either one. And if it's squirrels, I think the Tabasco sauce as a mix on the trunk will do the job.
I see. Do the rats object to the Tabasco sauce also?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that was 50%, I see. And just spray it on,
correct.
As much as you can. What about painting the trunk?
Well, either way, you're going to spray it on. You want to saturate it, so that works out really well.
Uh-huh. But otherwise, I was thinking like the white paint that you say you do spray on sometimes or put on.
Yeah, well, white paint's for a different thing. That's for a sun repellent. So
that
the trunk can't get burned. Yeah.
Okay. I see. Okay.
You got a lot of things going on over there.
Yes, all of a sudden. Well, a lot of things going on all over, it seems, these days.
Well, that's what we do. Do things.
Yes.
All right, Diane.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for calling. Bill is in San Jose. Hi there, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you?
I've been done pretty well, actually. I had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
That's a major situation.
It's a beautiful sunny day here. Anyway, yep. The reason I was calling, I have a bacon avocado tree that is about 25 years old, and it loses its leaves every year about this time, and I recognize that. But this year, it seems like the inordinate amount of leaves have dropped off the tree, and it's in full bloom. The blossoms are there. Do you have any suggestions or recommendations?
Yeah, right now, one of the problems, Bill, is that we really didn't have sufficient amount of water to actually replace the normal water that we get, you know, through the hose and that type of thing. So the flush of the rain, which is neutral, would actually wash away all of the alkalinity that is in the soil. We didn't get that this
year. And I have a lot of it.
Okay, so the one thing you got to do is to flood the area much and sort of try to replace what we didn't get in rain.
Okay. Yeah, I have a trough dug around the tree, you know, a couple inches deep and whatever, and I try to fill it up all the time. But, it just seems like this year I rake and blow and the leaves are just falling off the tree.
Well, there's nothing
anyway.
Other than that you can do. Are you feeding, fertilizing the tree?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I throw fertilizer, you know, around that drip. Not around the drip area, but
saying.
Around the hole
in the water area.
There.
Yeah, I think
water
so.
Area.
Fine.
Right.
You probably all have a bang up harvest this year.
Well, if I had a good harvest. I had a good harvest. Well, this from last year now, but we really enjoy those bacons. They're delicious avocados.
Yes, they are. Okay.
Can I have a second question with you?
Of course, really quick.
On my orange tree, the peel on the orange or the rind is splitting, and oranges are dropping off. And I just wondered if that was probably the same reason, maybe lack of water through the fall.
Through the fall, yes. And of course, what happens is that the fruit forms, and then if you have an influx of different kinds of irrigation, you're going to get a problem with the splitting. So there's nothing much you can do about that. No.
Well, I try to cut the split part of it out and juice it. So
that's exactly what I would do. And, orange juice is always good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Well, Bob, thank you for your call. And thank you, Bill, for your effort
hey,
on
thanks
the
for listening. Yep. Thank you Bill.
It's been a couple of years since I called in, but I figured I'd call in just to
Why
chat
not?
With you.
There you go. All right.
Okay. All
right, Bill.
You have a good
day. You bet. George is in Terrell. And my goodness, tomatoes? Hi. How can I help you there, George?
Yeah. Hey, Bob. I was wondering, you know, two things. Number one, you know, is it time to plant them? And then number two, you know, where is there a good nursery for me to buy the tomato plants? Because the master gardeners have stopped doing their sale that I always, you know, supported.
Yeah. George, I think your best tomato would be Champion, which is pretty much a standard insect, fungus, et cetera, and defeat it. It's bred to do that type of thing. One of the things I like is one of the purple tomatoes, which is wonderful. I love that one. That's one of the Cherokee.
I had one last year.
Cherokee series, so that might be something. Go to the farmer's market. It's open today. In your Terrell, yeah, well, you know where it is, over in the parking lot at the Civic Center.
Yes.
Go over there. Oh God, I can't remember the name. It's not coming to me. But there is a place that sells tomato plants.
Okay, good, great, wonderful. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, George. You take care. Meryl is in Mountain View. Hi there, Meryl.
Good morning, Bob.
How can I help you?
Okay, I have a planter box in the front yard, and I also have a azalea that's been there about 60 years. Now, the problem is the roots of the azalea are coming up through the planter box. So I cut it in half, the root, you know. And so is there anything I can cap off the root so it doesn't keep growing through the planter box?
What's the top of the azalea look like? Does it bloom? The thing you enjoy, the reason you plant the azalea is so that the top blooms and has all sorts of good things. You don't really give a damn about the root system, but now you're concerned about the root system. Why do you want to, what, are you going to plant something else in there?
The root, do you understand? The root is coming through underneath the planter box.
Well, you can always cut that off.
Oh, I did, but how do I keep it from not growing more?
You're going to have to make a decision. Do you love the planter box? Do you love the azaleas, or do you love the roots? That's one or the other.
I hate the roots.
Just cut the roots, and you're not going to hurt the plant.
Okay, I did that already. Okay.
So I wouldn't really be concerned with it. And as long as the plant looks healthy, obviously it sounds like it is, then I would be okay with that. Okay?
Yeah, it's an ever-blooming azalea. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Well, enjoy it. Good grief. Don't look at the root. Okay, don't let the roots dominate your desires for ocular enjoyment, okay? How about that? I even got ocular out there this morning, and that's pretty good for my brain.
Good job. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Meryl. Thanks for the call. You take care. Cheryl and Dan and George, just hang on. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll get right back to your calls. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk, Radio 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden.
Let's get to Cheryl in San Jose. Hi there, Cheryl.
Good morning, Bob. I was thinking about phases of the moon and planting, and I remember years ago you probably had someone on to talk about a book or something about that. But what phase is good for planting tomatoes?
Let's see. Let me look at my calendar. That would be, I think, the 26th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a date. Okay.
I'm serious about that. That's the full moon coming up.
Yeah.
And if you plant it in the late afternoon, and with the phases of the moon, during the dark moon, you plant root crops. During the phase of the light moon, you plant plants that grow up. So that's tomatoes right. grow up. So why put a bone? But the 26th is the full moon.
Okay. And it's getting to be so that it's almost over 50 degrees at night here. So
yeah, I know we're in good shape on that. And it's and any time after Easter is a good time to plant your tomato plants. I've done that. How many years now? Well, never mind. We'll get to that some other day. Anyway, Cheryl.
What sticks out in my mind is you said that don't plant them until it's over 50 degrees at night. And
that is correct.
We tend to be in a little chilly spot. So I try not to do that. But I was remembering phases of the moon, and I didn't. So above ground, it's one thing, and below ground, it's another thing. Got it.
Okay. Cheryl, thank you so much for listening and calling in. I think I love that. All right. Enjoy. let's go to Ann from, I'm not going to say, but I know where you live. Hi there, Ann.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Edie.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. I'm calling about an indoor plant.
I know that.
I have.
And I got to tell you about that airplane plant.
Yes.
When I was on the Owen Spann show and I was on the Nationwide plant, some gal from Texas, golly, was talking about her air plant thing. And I never heard that the spider plant was called an airplane plant. I could never figure that out. And finally it did. I was asked questions, and finally it was a spider plant. And she said, I replant it. Well, I'm giving you the story of my association with people from Texas who talk about airplane plants. So I know what you're talking about now.
I had some in California, and the same thing would happen, and I would lose all the plants. And it started again here. And so it's like, okay, I need Bob to tell me, what am I doing wrong?
Okay, don't replant it. Okay, now, what is it doing, Ann?
The tips turn crispy brown and dying, but then further down, that same blade is turning yellow and brown further down the leaves.
Okay, what I think is going on is that, tell me how you're watering it.
Just when it's dry.
Okay, what I would do is take the plant and put it in the sink and fill the sink up until the water doesn't bubble anymore.
Yes, that's basically what I did. I left it. Yes.
And then drain it and put it back up where it gets, you know, it doesn't take sun too well. Is this a variegated form?
Yes, it's variegated. Yeah, I have it under like pot lights in the house.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't have sunlight, and I'm on the north side, and so so I don't get sunlight, and I have a covered porch, so I really don't get direct sunlight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the tips of the tips turning brown tells me that there is a problem with the water too. So that's why the sink thing, leave it on till it doesn't bubble and then hang it up again. And I think maybe that will check the new foliage and check the little airplanes too. So they should be coming out.
They are out. When I bought the plant, they were already out. But those tips are turning brown also.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I think
when I decided to call for help.
You know, I'm wondering, Ann, in that area, is your water alkaline, you think?
I have no idea.
When you water outside last summer, did you get any crusty kind of white stuff on the surface?
I don't know. I was in the hospital a lot, so.
Oh, okay.
I suspect
you have alkaline water. So when you water, you know, sink it into the tub and you water it real well till the bubbles don't come up, add about a half a cup of vinegar to the plant.
A cup of vinegar mixed with water?
Yeah. You're going to fill. Okay. You're going to fill the sink with water. And then you're going to have a half a cup of vinegar to that water. That's a big tub of water. And, you know, okay, you don't want to add 100% vinegar because that'll burn it up.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Okay, so you want a very light solution of vinegar water added. And I think that will help the plant recover. Let's try that, okay?
All right, will do. I thank you very much.
And thank you so much for listening all the way down there where I'm not going to mention it. All right. You take care. We're going to go to Jerry in Moraga. Hi there, Jerry.
Good morning, Bob. I have two questions about my dwarf fruit trees. The first is a dwarf cherry tree. Last year it had no blooms, no fruit, and so I left it. Normally I would top off the top, cut up the top so I could manage the height.
Yeah.
So this year, it's totally covered with blossoms, except for that additional height. Can I take that off? Can I take that additional, the tall branches off? Because there's no fruit on the tall branches.
Yeah, Jerry, yeah. Okay, you can, after you harvest the fruit, you can cut those off.
Okay. All right, that's going to be okay, because I need to net the tree or I will not get one cherry because the birds will eat them.
Yeah, well, that's the reason you grow a cherry tree, isn't it? It's for the birds.
Exactly. Well, the squirrel's got the nectarine, so there we go.
Okay. Oh, you have a lot of good things going on. Try that Tabasco sauce remedy for the squirrels.
Oh, that's an idea. Okay, that tree's still manageable. The second tree I'm calling about is my apple tree.
Okay.
So last year it was totally covered with apples. I had to take selectively take apples off because the tree was so covered. This year, nothing. I think I had 12 blossoms. Did I do something wrong?
No. What you will get, normally you'll get, if a tree has produced a lot, okay, the reason that you get a lot of good fruit on a tree is because it was either stressed somehow or other, so that the tree, in order to protect itself, would actually produce a lot of apples. And this year it wasn't stressed, so maybe it didn't think it needed apples. So that is a problem. That's one. Two, fruit trees, just like olive trees and many other trees, will have a good season and a bad season, or a season that they don't produce very much. And that's just normal. That would be normal.
Okay. All right. Yep, so I'll wait till next year, and I'll cross my fingers on the cherry tree if I get any.
I know, cherries are for the birds.
Oh, but they're so good. That was it for today. Thank
you
so much.
The farmer's market has a lot of good cherries. I'm not sure if it's cherry. See, I don't go to the farmer's market anymore because it's ridiculous spreading out all over the place, and I can't walk that far. But anyway, that's my thought on that kind of thing. So,
good cherries.
They have good cherries, and I love them, but I just have to give up something. And never mind, Jerry. I just love the call, and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for your information. This helps a lot.
Okay, Jerry, thank you so much. oh, golly. I was going to give out a name of the people that are going to for lilacs. I had an email from a person from Lilacs. I did mention it last week, and I couldn't think of the name of the place that you can buy a lilac in California that will bloom. And Descanso Gardens, and they have a website. And you can actually, I think, order from them. I haven't tried that. Probably the wrong time of the year to try to order those kind of things. But if you go to a nursery, and you will get one. And a lot of the problems with lilacs is that we don't get the weather in California. Let's say that they get in the Middle West or in even, Como country, where you might possibly have good weather, which is bad weather for any other plant, but it's good weather for lilacs because that forces them to bloom. And any plant that gets stressed and is normally blooming, lilacs can be what you would like. But I think they're sort of like a piece of the landscape kind of production that you don't need. We have so many beautiful spring blooming plants that are available in California that you can't buy anywhere or get anywhere or grow anywhere in the United States other than where you live in California. So anyway, I do have lines up open if you'd like to join us at 1-415-808-5600. Jump in because you won't get a chance during the week. You'll just have to do it on Sunday from 9 to 10. This is Bob Tanum in the garden. Going to take that break while you dial, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Let's go to Steve in Pleasant Hill. That's right where the Concord feed store is. All right, Steve.
That is correct.
That's what I would recommend for your lawn fertilizers that won't hurt chickens.
Is what?
Alfalfa pellets.
Oh, so I can throw those all over my lawn because I already use them in my my fruit tree. So I can use the same pellets on my lawn, and that'll take care of everything.
That is correct. It won't kill the weeds, which is what you don't want to do. But then that's another thing, because any weed killer will hurt the chickens. And most of the chemical fertilizers will hurt the chickens. However, alfalfa is sort of like bird food. I think chickens are birds. Last time I looked, they had feathers and they can fly, sort of.
Perfect. Well, that's what I needed to know. Thank you, sir.
All right, Steve. Thank you for calling. You take care. Joanne is in Palo Alto. Okay, Joanne, yes. How can
I
help
you? Hi there, Bob. So appreciate your show. I have two camellia bushes and pink flowers, and the blossoms are withering and turn a little bit brown. Okay. And the leaves are beginning to fade a little bit in spots.
Okay, how often do you feeding it?
I'm not too sure. The bushes are fairly new, and I'm just getting into a routine.
Okay. How long have they been in the ground?
They've been in the ground a year.
Okay. All right. And they've been so far so good, and now they're starting to look a little sad?
You know, last year the blossoms also were brown, and what I did was I just pulled them.
Okay. Yeah, that is a possibility with blossom blight. And usually what you do is in the fall, spray them with liquid copper. If you can find actinivate, which is around, which would be another place that I would recommend it. So,
okay. Yeah,
Joanne. But the trick is, as you see the buds form in the fall, spray them right there. Now, the sad looking of the plant is, I think, you know, you have to feed your camellias once a month throughout the entire growing season, which is starting now.
Oh, good. That's good to know. Okay.
So there you go. And and watch your watering. They do require water, but they also require very good drainage. So you need to sort of put your fingers in the ground and feel it and see if it's moist. If it is, don't water. And if it isn't, then water. And they are surface rooted, so you have to check that surface. So make sure that it's always moist.
Okay. A dumb question. Do you recommend a particular food?
Well, yeah, there's Dr. Earth. There is Gardner and Bloom, and there's also E.B. Stone. So all of those are available in most nurseries.
Okay, once a month. And do you like alfalfa pellets?
Love them, of course. Yeah, well, they're one of my favorite. And I sort of use that around a lot of plants as a general all-purpose fertilizer. And with camellias, roses, and stuff like that, they need a little extra boost. So I would use a camellia food. And I think that Dr. Earth and I would go to a nursery and use their product. And I think E.B. Stone and Dr. Earth might be there. And Gardner and Bloom, or G&B, would be another product that I would recommend. Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thank you for being there. We want that 3 hours back.
Me too. Oh, God, I'd love that. And, you know, it would sort of be like a raisin pay. But no, well, let's not go there. All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Well, we'll go there too.
Okay. All righty. All right.
Thank you for your help. Okay. Bye.
All right. You take care. Right. Bye-bye. John is in San Jose. Hi there, John.
Hi, Bob. You said the indoor plants, if they got brown tips, it means they're not getting enough water, because all my, six of my indoor plants have brown tips on the ends of the leaves.
No, John, in San Jose, they have alkaline water, and that's one of the problems, but nothing like they have in Texas, where Ann was from. But in your situation, here's what I would do if you have a lot of that in all of your plants, is just take them over to the sink or the bathtub, soak them until you don't see any more bubbles, then let them drain, and then put them back where you have them. You got to, every once in a while, got to flush off the normal salts that you have in the plants. And if you have brown tips, that is the problem. They are just accumulating a lot of salts in the soil from the city water. You know, they put in all sorts of good stuff into your... They don't tell you about it, of course. But, you know, there's all sorts of things. They want to keep the pipes clean. So they put in all sorts of good stuff in the thing, John. And that's the reason for the brown tips. But my recommendation is when you see the brown tips even start to form is to take them over to the sink or the bathtub, soak them all until the bubbles don't show, and then drain them really well and then put them back where you get them.
That's interesting. I never knew that there was a seawater causing this. Now, what do I feed my indoor plants? I don't think I've ever fed them because I don't know what I should be putting on. Is the same stuff that goes outside?
Well, if you have an organic thing, I like VF11.
Okay, I got plenty of that. All right.
Now, so it's not an organic, but it's one of those plants that is very, if you look at the label, it's very low in any chemical, but it's just enough to keep the plant. I like to spray the foliage with them as well. So that's how I get my orchids to bloom.
Okay, now, how often should I be doing that?
Every week I would foliar feed.
My God. All right, I can do that. So they must be starving. Another question I have, I just replacing an Abutilon, and do I have to change, the last one died because I didn't water it enough. Do I have to change out all the soil for it and put in more planting soil?
I would, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate your help.
Well, John, that's why I'm here. We dry it every week, 9 to 10. Yeah. All right, let's go to Jean in San Mateo. Hi there, Jean.
Hi. I got a lily for my 92nd birthday, and I don't know if I can plant it outside when the blooms go or not.
Tell me about, do you know what kind of plant it is, lily? What does it look like? What's the flower look like?
Oh, they're real big white flowers. The flowers are white, and the leaves are
they large?
Big green.
Are
no,
they
they're
large?
Not too large. They're small.
Okay. Well, I wish I knew the name.
Yeah, no, there's no name on there.
Okay. But does it hang, or is it upright, or what?
Oh, it's upright. It's in a pot sitting on the...
It wouldn't be an Easter lily, would it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's got big white flowers with a little knob coming up in the middle.
Okay.
Now, the leaves are turning brown, so I...
Okay. I think it's going dormant, and I think I'd change it. I'd do it. I would suspect that in the morning sun situation in San Mateo, it would be perfectly safe to plant it in the ground.
Okay. And kind of keep shade at part-time.
Yep.
Okay. The
reason I say that is because at this time of the year, there are a lot of lilies in bloom, and all of them can be put outside, but they need morning sun but afternoon shade.
Okay,
even in San Mateo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Jean. Thanks you so much for listening, and thanks for the call. Whew. Well, anyway, I do want to reiterate that you can buy lilacs that bloom in California from Descanso Gardens, and they have a website, so you can go there and actually...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.